Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide, featuring your distinguished host and certified financial planner, Bart Zandbergen.
Welcome to our show of Dream Chasers and Wealth Makers. We are thrilled to be back in the virtual studio today with a new episode of the Zandbergen Report. I'm proud to bring you the movers, shakers, and difference makers who are passionate about what they have learned and what you need to know today. And speaking of movers and shakers, I'm pleased to have, it's been a while, my partner, Leticia Burbaum. Tish, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Bart.
Hey, Paul. Hi. Nice to see you virtually, Paul. And Paul, don't you think it was interesting that when we used to, in the old days, when we used to come to the studio, that Tish would come in running with her high heels
and running late? Always.
And we're virtual, and she still runs late.
I thought that was crazy. We're all set to pull the trigger. It's like 30 seconds ago, and she disappears. Yeah.
I needed my lipstick, you guys.
Well, she admittedly doesn't like to waste time, so she found a 30-second window to do something, and I guess that was
I guess that's lipstick. A good thing. Yeah, right. I guess that's a good thing here.
Well, we thought we would kind of take a deep breath to a certain degree and pause, and today's show is going to be reflections during quarantine.
The birds.
Cue the spa music, Paul.
Yeah, right, exactly. Dun, 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 dun. Well, you know, one good thing, and the birds are singing again. Pollution is down. People are staying at home.
So it actually is. That's not an untrue statement. I mean, in my backyard, I've never seen so many birds. Matter of fact, Tish and I were on a call earlier today, and she apparently got attacked by a herd of parakeets or flock of parakeets.
I love how the story just changes over time. We observed them from our window in our backyard, and they were in the trees. But Bart thought for sure that was a false statement.
Do you know why? I used to live in San Pedro, and do you know why there are so many parakeets in Southern California? Particularly cruise ships. They buy them in Mexico as little gifts, and then they bring them back, and they go, I don't want this thing. And they just let them, or they buy it at the pet store, and it becomes a pain. And they just open the cage and let them go.
So they survive in the wild?
Apparently they've survived and created a colony of parakeets, particularly in San Pedro. I know there's one, but the other places,
I have never seen a wild flock of parakeets.
Oh, yeah, so there's a bunch of them. And I'll tell you, in Santa Ana, there's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, there's a bunch in Santa Ana, but apparently also in my backyard.
So you're probably feeding them. So there you go. There are some. I know there are lots of negative things, but the birds are chirping again and pollution is down.
So there's, I think, a number of things or subjects within, you know, things to reflect on. But kind of how I thought about maybe starting, and Tish, you're going to love this, because I was just going to ask you, like, how has your life changed during quarantine?
I think it's changed 150%, to be honest. I mean, Bart jokes about it all the time that since March, we've seen each other like less than a handful of times. It's so true. It's really unbelievable. But can I just say on that same note, I have been incredibly productive, and life, I feel like, has changed. There's been a lot of things going on in my own life. But like overall, I think that this has taken a lot of time to self-reflect and really, you know, I'm very goal-centric, and for me, it's been really great to be able to just clean house, clean things in my life, that take care of things that haven't been taken care of in a lot of time, and really go back to the basics and just try to, and Bart, you're going to laugh. You know how much I love to waste time. I feel like I'm not like wasting time anymore. I'm kind of cleaned out of like a lot of the time I used to spend doing things I don't think created a lot of value in my life. So now I feel, to be honest, I feel a lot more fulfilled because I'm getting a lot done, and I have really great quality time with my family and friends, and I still get things done. So I feel really good.
Good. Yeah. And we'll talk about how productive you are, and I want to talk about clients as one of the subjects and how that has
Get off on that, can I throw out an idea, though? I've heard this over and over again on our station here as people are doing these things in the virtual studios now instead of the actual studio. They said people, and many have said this, so see if you agree, many people feel more productive than ever. They're getting more done, but they feel less connected. they feel less linked to actually. You feel isolated. So you're getting stuff done because you're not going to lunch, you're not going here, you're not going there. But at the same time, we're still kind of scared and isolated and alone. We don't feel as connected to people as we did, well, even though we can.
And I'm going to you next, by the way, Paul, so get ready.
Oh, but, okay.
And I know this is somewhat graphical, but I just feel we're, all of our meetings are in two dimensions now, and it's so different than three dimension.
Yeah.
And then secondarily, if you stack these meetings, the amount of energy I think that is required for a Zoom, because you're, I mean, like, Tish is the queen of, like, multitasking and, you know, typing a novel, like, while she's on the phone in a meeting. You can't do that when you're
no, busted. You can't be sitting there. Yeah, yeah. What was that, Bart? Yeah, I'm listening, really. Yeah.
I'm taking notes, you guys. Multitasking.
I'm going to use
but
that one.
If you think about the attention, so I think the hyper-focus of attention, probably good, but the amount of energy that it requires, I find myself at the end of the day, and Paul, I think we did that one show with Dr. Grauer, Sanjay, and he the same thing, just how exhausted we were, because that was an end-of-the-day show just from the day of meetings.
Yeah, meetings. I think it shows. I think we're all kind of weary, and we're weary and leery. We're not sure if we like this new world. We were moving that way anyway. You know, we were all communicating more and more online. But I think we weren't ready to completely cut the cord and live isolated existences.
So, Paul, your life, unless something has changed, you're the only one in your tall skyscraper building in Costa Mesa, right?
I am. It's eerie. I'm in a six-story office building across from South Coast Plaza. And because we're an essential service, we're allowed to stay open. But there's nobody here.
And the new restaurant in the bottom floor, the coffee, are they both closed?
They're both closed. Phil's Coffee's found a way to stay open because you can come and get your coffee. So those restaurants that can just pull up. But the poor guy that opened the one downstairs, I feel for him. He just had opened it, and it's been closed ever since. And I can't I can't wrap my head around what's coming. Is it the apocalypse, or is it the are we just adaptive species? What happens to all these bars and restaurants? What happens to all these airlines? What happens to all these hotels? What happens? Maybe it's just one segment of our economy, but an awful lot of people seems like they're going to struggle to come back, if they come back at all.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole subject that we'll not cover today, but it's a very true statement for sure. I mean, that just kind of falls on where the
economy. So I'll say
is.
From my standpoint, it's eerie and it creates a certain anxiety. We're still doing shows. That's great. And so we get to communicate and connect with people. And in many studies have shown that online has gone up. Zoom conferences are zooming ahead. Netflix is higher than it's ever been. Podcast download is hitting record numbers. We're starved for content and connections. But I think it's because at the same time we're feeling very isolated and unsure as to what happens next.
And because this is a podcast and maybe listened to at different times, but just as a point of reference, we're now at a time period where we're experiencing kind of a round two of quarantining.
Yeah.
That was just announced, at least here in Southern California. And so we're buckling down again. And you know, for some, this creates great challenges, especially, Paul, the businesses that you just mentioned, some of the service businesses.
Yeah, businesses that required you to gather together that we love. Restaurants, bars, hotels, beaches, museums, sports, places where we love to congregate and gather together and get out of our increasingly isolated existences. Those are the ones that are the most challenged right now, and I think will be challenged for some time to come. Because I'm not sure even when they do come, and we all seem to be 100% convinced they're going to come up with a vaccine. I haven't met one person yet says, oh, no, they can't do this. So I hope that's true, and when it happens, then we'll start to feel safe to go back out again. But until then, I don't know that I'm getting on a plane. I don't know that I'm taking a cruise. I don't know that I'm going to a bar, a restaurant, or even church. I'm an Irish Catholic. I haven't been to church. I've never missed church in a day in my life, and I haven't been in church in months.
You've not missed a church day in your life?
Never. I mean, a Sunday. Yeah, I've never missed a Sunday in my life that I can remember. I mean, maybe
something about Paul.
Something being sick, I suppose, or something. But no, I never just woke up and said, "Nah, I'm not going to do this today."
I'll reflect a little bit on that. I think with everything in life, it's how you how you react to it, right? So you can do it positively, negatively. And so I always try to look for the bright side. And yes, we're at home. I'm technically in the office about half the time. I'm the only one here generally. And Tish and I have kind of been trading off, taking turns, so as not to see each other or overlap.
Well, but, that's going to Bart's already figured out how he's going to continue. He's going to come with an excuse to do that for a long time. No, sorry, Tish, yeah, you got to stay. No,
oh, watch it.
That's not. He's just doing this to you, Tish, right?
But I will agree from a productivity standpoint. We've joked about this, and I'm not going to say whether this is true or not, but there's days where I found a way to work out and I come home and then I start working and then I look at my watch, the day's over and I'm like, bro, I didn't even get into the shower yet.
Yeah, right.
And that has happened more than once.
What do you think about anxiety? Are we all going to have post-traumatic COVID syndrome here? Are we all going to be, right now we're focused on we're surviving, we're adapting, we're doing new things, learning new skills. We're going forward. The markets go on and up and other things. In many ways, it feels like we've already pivoted and adapted. But I wonder if at some point we're all going to have a collective breakdown here and say, oh, my God, I didn't realize how stressful this was.
Well, neither of us are trained psychologists, but I think that's within the realm of possibility. I think to a certain degree, and I'm going to choose my words carefully. I don't want to get political, but there's been some recent occurrences socially that I think are a result of people being kind of cooped up for
yeah,
too long,
right.
As may have added fuel to the fire of some social.
People seem to be snapping. You see too many things where people just go off and you say, really? What's this all about? They're raging. Whatever the subject is, they're ready to pop here.
Yeah.
Well, and I want to also add that Bert talks about habits all the time. And if he shows you, like, he has a discipline to go to the gym every single day, like clockwork, and a lot of other things. But a lot of things that Bart and I talk about that make us successful are the habits that we have built, we've created on purpose or not on purpose. And I feel like right now, for me, my self-reflection is this is a time that we have to adapt. And we're creating new habits. In the beginning, it was really, really hard during COVID of just the whole process, everything felt uncomfortable, but I feel like, hey, I can't speak for anyone else, but I personally did a lot of self-reflection of saying, okay, what are the habits that I want to be in and where do I want to be and how can I show up every day to do what I need to do? And I create a new habit. So I adapted, right? I adapted to this new environment. And then I feel like I can still excel in my situation. I don't know about everybody else, but for me personally, you know, it's been a long enough, you know, they sometimes will say 3 weeks, 90 days, you can create a new habit, a new discipline, and it's how we show up. And so I think for me personally, it's been a positive reaction instead of negative, because I've chosen that path of self-reflection and saying, how do I want to show up? What habits do I want to create going forward?
So how will we show up physically, psychologically, socially after this is over? Will we show our scars? Will we just go back to the way things were? Or will we somehow, is this a rapid acceleration into some new normal here?
Time will tell. And I don't think it's an all or nothing. I think there's going to be a part of the population that will never feel comfortable, you know,
yeah,
maybe a small portion of the population. And there's going to be something that's going to come out like had their engines revved and are ready to roll out. But, you know, and I know it's a way overused term, but the new normal, whatever that is or whatever it looks like, I don't know that we're in it yet, but I don't see life like it was maybe ever.
I say that because as a student, I'm a big student of history. You're always making fun of all these crazy, weird facts I know, but I studied history and still have always been fascinated with it. And I had to go back in time because when I studied American history, a lot, they talked very little about the great pandemic of 1918, even though it killed 50, 60 million people, 675,000 in America alone over an entire year period of three waves. And the reason is because when it was over, everybody said, I don't want to talk about this anymore. I knew my great-grandmother who lived through it. She never wanted to talk about it. It was just like, whew, we dodged that one. And they wanted it to go back to the way it was as quickly as possible. There wasn't much adaptation or change that came out of that. We didn't do things differently. And they, people just, you know, I'm Catholic. They made the sign of the cross and went, oh, thank God we've lived through that one. I wonder if there's some of that in us right now. We're eager to go back out there. We're eager to get back to the way it was. And yet I think in ways we can't even imagine this is going to change us as people.
You know. And I wonder, you know, much like my parents lived through World War II, right. Their parents lived through World War I. This is not a war. Well, you can argue this is a war against an unseen enemy. We've heard that phrase before. But this, I wonder if this will be something that will be a reference in our life for the rest of our life, much like the war is. My parents talked about the war, quote unquote.
Right.
For their entire lives, that since I was born.
My dad, I'm a little bit older. My dad not only went through the war, he fought through the war, and he'd gone through the Depression as a child, and that marred his life forever. My dad never had a credit card that he didn't pay off in 30 days, ever, because you just never knew when the next crash was coming. It just created a whole different, and I think that was very common for that era. It affected the way they lived the rest of their life, those two traumas that he went through.
I agree.
So I've created a list, no particular order of subjects that we're not going to get all through today, so this will be a continued show, but areas worth reflecting. The items are health, family, time, finances, friends, clients, local businesses, staff, health and nutrition. And I think each one of those has something worth discussing and reflecting. And since we have some time left, I thought we might start with just clients, which are very important to Letitia and I, and really the way we run our business as kind of a multifamily office, really part of our extended family. And so I've reflected on that and one, the importance of them to me and how I feel about them. And I get the impression that we were pretty important to them during this time period because we heard from many of them. And it made me appreciate the importance that we are in their life, because not all. So I'm speaking in generality, because a lot of our clients have been with us over 20, 25 years. So this is not our first rodeo. This is different than some of the things we've been through, but yet there's some similarities. But there are still those that were like, what do we do? What's happening? What is going to happen? Some of the questions we can't answer, but we did serve as a sounding board, certainly not a trained therapist.
I'm going to give you my opinion on this. It's based on my similar reaction. You know, I appreciate you guys are still doing a show. Nearly all of our shows are still continuing on. And I think that we're hungry for answers right now for two reasons. One, ideas, direction, anything. One, because there's never been more conflicting information about everything. I went through the dot-com bust. You know, okay, it was bad. Other thing, we went through 9/11. That was scary and frightening and everything else here. But we quickly started saying, okay, what happened and what are we going to do next? And we were on to that phase. We're still not sure, does a mask help or does a mask hurt? I've heard both ways. Is this going to go away in the summer or no, it didn't? Is it going to come back? Is it gone forever? You know, we're getting such conflicting information from every source, and I've never been through a crisis where there's such confusion. Usually somebody steps up and says, everybody gets together and says, this is it. Here's what happened. We figured it out, and here's how we go forward. We can't even seem to get our hands around that. And the other thing is because we're isolated. In a crisis before, we still went out to the bar. We still went out to the gym. We still went out to church. We still gathered, and you got together, and your family said, what do you all think? Now we're forced to deal with this alone, and I don't think we've ever had to deal with a crisis. We didn't deal with World War II alone. Everybody wasn't locked in their house.
Which is why I think, again, getting back to our clients and their uncertainty and their concern.
Exactly.
But both Letitia and I are, I would say for the first 6 to 8 weeks, we were sun up to, you know, 8, 9, 10 at night between speaking to clients, between, you know, obviously we have research to do and allocation and, you know, our real job. But, you know, conversations were just one after another. And I, and Letitia, I want you to talk next, but to me, it reinforced why I got into the business and the joy I have in working and helping people, even during difficult times, because I feel that when someone looks up to you, you have like an obligation to, at least from my personality, that's what I do.
Yeah, right.
And it really makes me appreciate what I do and clients that I have. How'd you feel, Tish?
You know, definitely you summed it up with what we did as like the physical side. We were, you know, on the phone. I feel like if I were to say one thing I feel like we did well is we were proactive and we reached out and we probably over communicated, but we were on the phone with clients and emailing them and commentaries and the podcast and updates. And as things were changing and regulations, we were trying to be on top of it and really just going the extra mile to make sure that everyone knew information. And it's important because we manage their money. And this is so important. This is their livelihood. This is everything they've worked so hard for. And we have that responsibility on our shoulders that we are taking and we take seriously every day. And we might be like a fun, like we banter back and forth and we're fun, but what we do has a lot of pressure behind it. And we make sure that, you know, what we're doing is number one in the client's best interest. And so we're constantly doing that research and reaching out and doing the extra touch points. I mean, if we didn't have clients, Bart, we wouldn't be here, right? We wouldn't be able to do what we're doing. And, you know, I feel like you said, this is so rewarding because yes, it was hard times, but at the same time, like we walked through this process with them and we held their hand and we were there, we were guided. If they wanted or not, we were always available. And I feel like that alone is just like shows that, you know, we really are earning everything that we've done. And it just shows, like you said, it reignites the passion because we're being able to make a difference in people's lives and help them get through this.
I'll give you an interesting similarity. I hadn't thought about this, but I'm hearing other little threads that I've heard through on different radio shows. And we do a show called Women in Electronics. And it's about the electronics industry, these little components that go into an iPhone or a rocket ship or a ventilator, all these little gadgets and gadgets. And every one of them said the same thing. We have never felt more important in our industry because without our little gadgets, they can't make a ventilator. Without our little gadgets, you can't have a phone or whatever. And that's one example. You gave an example. I feel like the guy coming in and manning the lighthouse here and keeping the light on for everybody here. Somehow we've all felt, I think, in weird ways, never more important in what we do. The workers who deliver stuff on the assembly line, who we never think about, you know, we don't give them a second thought. They're the most essential workers of all. They make sure the groceries are there and the toilet paper and the food and everything is coming. I mean, we've suddenly realized 100%. The importance of what we're doing. Yeah.
100%. And that, I think that's a great segue into the second of my list. And that, I was just going to say staff. I mean, our staff beyond Letitia and I are primarily single parents, some moms, some dads. And so what a pivot that they had to do was, one, their kids are no longer in school or daycare. They can't come into an office. And so now how do they get their work done and take care and homeschool and so on and so forth. And I will tell you, for the most part, I don't think we skipped a beat. Everyone has done a wonderful job going above and beyond the call of duty and you know, every aspect. Our operations manager had the foresight, and I thought, I loved the word denial. That's kind of my favorite word, and I like to kick the can.
Isn't that a river in Egypt? Denial.
That's the only denial I know. But in any event, he had set everybody up with the laptop computers and remote security and so forth, in possible expectation of this. I thought, this is the United States. This is 2020. This is never going to happen.
Yeah,
and, a month later, everyone's working from home. But I wanted to give praise and kudos to the staff that has done, you know, for the most part, a really, really good job.
I'll give you another weird one, too, that I've seen. And when the history of this time is written, I think they're going to be surprised how much corporations took care of their employees. From big companies to little companies, Apple still paid people. My son-in-law is still getting paid from the bank, even though he only works a couple of days a week there. I don't know how long that generosity goes on, but and some of it was help the government gave payroll protection and other things. But there was an overriding element not to fire everybody, which I thought would happen immediately. I thought they'd shed all the jobs. I'm not just saying, yeah, we did have massive unemployment. I get it. But more and more companies held on to their employees in some way, shape, or form than I thought they would have.
I'm going to try to slide one more in. I know I have a few minutes left, so we may not finish. Maybe we'll lead again with this. But I think family, from a point of reflection, is super, super important and critical. You know, some of us live with family at home. Some of us just have extended family. I have both. But what it really did for me as I reflect is it reminded me of the importance of them. My family was very supportive of what I had to do and with a four-year-old, as Letitia knows, to try and create a room of peace for a few hours at a time. It's not a simple task, but you know, we did what we had to do. And I think there's some humility and reality when you're on an important phone call and you know, a child comes in and wants to show you their stuffed unicorn or something. I think that's something real about that. But the other, you know, the other reflection is I knew that life for me had gotten busy, and Letitia and I are very busy with philanthropic work and work and business meetings and some travel. But to hear my immediate family say, oh, we're so happy to have you home. Oh, we kind of like this because you're home all the time. You're not always home, gone.
You're not working. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a aha moment. For me,
Maybe I should do more of those fine research.
Yeah, I'm going to start with that, and then I'm going to unwind and say more. But I feel like I wasted, like I was saying in the beginning, I feel like I wasted a lot of time doing stuff that didn't bring me a lot of value in my life. And like you said, it could have been like just from point A to point B. But like you said, we travel so much and work and are in meetings and everything else that comes to what we're doing and research, that sometimes that we neglect the people that we love the most, and it could be our family, and because we know they'll always be there. Well, they might not always be there, you know. And you know, family is important. It's people that provide us love, people that we love. It's the support, the framework, it's the values that we all bring together. I mean, I have to tell you, I feel like I eat 3 meals a day at the table with my kids now. I've never done that. So to me, like, just little pieces like that and just reinforcing, you know, personal growth with my family. And I feel like it's so fun. Like, it's just life's little joys. Like today, you know, when I stepped outside to go do something, my daughter said, you know, her tooth was loose and it fell out, and I was right there, and she lost her first tooth, and I get to be part of that, you know. And it's like little things that when you are like a business working woman, that you sometimes sacrifice those things, and it's just part of what you do. You don't get to have it all, and this way you get to be able to be part of that, and it's really rewarding that you get to see that, and you're like, okay, back to the next Zoom meeting and off we go. But it is really rewarding. So I just wanted to say thank you.
I hope we don't forget it. I hope it doesn't just fade away when the rush to reopen happens again here.
Yeah.
Well, Paul, thanks for letting us extend a little bit over.
Absolutely.
We've got many more subjects.
This was very nice because so far we've just been focused on the fear and the chaos. We need to start looking at it and say, well, are there other things we could be learning from this? Is this all bad, or is there something good we can get out of this?
Exactly. So thank you both for your candor and your willing to participate in this little conversation.
So I hope it helps somebody. I hope it helps them to think twice as they're listening to it.
I hope so. We will definitely continue.
Good to see you, Paul.
Well, you're going to see a lot more of Letitia over the next couple of weeks. She's going to be running the show, Paul, so you know.
She is.
That means,
that's what she's been wanting to do. This is it. She's taken over.
But in any event, thank you both again, and thank you for everyone who has tuned in, and we look forward to being in studio again next week. Cheers.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting bartzandbergen.podbean.com. The Zandbergen Report is also available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Interested in being a featured guest on our show or have a question you'd like to hear us answer? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com. Bart A. Zandbergen, CFP, and Letitia Burbaum, AIF, are registered investment advisors with Optivest, Inc., and registered representatives with Gramercy Securities, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered by Optivest, Inc., under SEC registration.